Hello there, everybody, and you're listening to The Boom Burst. On today's episode, we're talking about the Nintendo Switch, the Pokemon Sun and Moon demo, and some of the leaks that have come from that demo. Cue the music. No snarky comment?
I got nothing. I'm dead today.
Hey, everybody.
Hey. We have old intro music back for a little bit, because Cy needs to get better at mixing.
It was mixed fine, I just didn't like it. That's all.
Cy needs to get better at mixing.
Why don't you mix audio next time?
Because that would be a disaster.
Why don't we have you color code things next time?
Had me color code things.
That's a good point. There's the cheap shots of the episode. Anyway, we're going to talk about a lot of news that's come out over the past week, because that keeps happening.
We put out an episode, and the next day more news comes out. We publish an episode.
We publish the episode, and it's already outdated.
Yeah, yeah. We publish an outdated episode, which only took us a few days to get out. Mm-hmm. And then, as soon as we publish it, there's more news announced literally right afterwards.
Yeah. So, because of that, probably our 1 year thing's gonna be pushed back for us to talk about maybe a week, because there's just too much news, but we'll get one out. Don't worry.
Why does this keep happening to us, Cy?
Because this year is a good year for Pokemon stuff compared to last year.
Well, there's no happy medium. It's either all of the news or a desert. A freaking desert.
Okay. So let's start with today's information so we can date our episodes again. The Nintendo Switch was announced.
Yeah, that was the event this morning.
Yeah, it's the Nintendo Switch. It's reinventing the pullout game. And first slot, Stozer, how do you feel about it?
I love it. I absolutely love it. At first, I was really iffy about the detaching controller things, but once I saw people online and how third-party developers could maybe even make custom grips with special button layouts for their game and such, I'm just this is amazing. This is beautiful. It's got Unreal Engine 4 support, so it's wide open to the indie developers. It's, remastered Skyrim on the go. You can play that. This thing is impressive. It's got the third-party support that everyone's complaining that Nintendo didn't have. And probably my favorite part is Nintendo looked at the critics who were like, Nintendo should just pull out of the console market and stick to handhelds, and they just gave them a big middle finger and said, why not both?
Yeah. I think this is probably the smartest thing that Nintendo could have done with their new console. It's very Nintendo-y. It's a gimmick. It's a huge gimmick, but it's something that is going to help the company overall.
Yeah, not only, first of all, but the thing on the huge gimmick, it's also a safe gimmick at the same time.
That's what I was going to say. It's very safe. It's catering not only to their general fans, but also to people who are more hesitant on trying to get into Nintendo consoles. It's very good for the developers, because one of the problems that developers have with Nintendo consoles, for the most part, is that they're always so wonky with their button layouts and stuff like that. How with the Wii, they had to deal with motion controls, and with the Wii U, they had to figure out some way to integrate the screen into it.
Yeah.
But with this, they can do either. They can choose to possibly use the screen or not. It's a good medium. It's a good medium. It's a happy medium, and I think it's the best thing Nintendo could have done for their system.
Mm-hmm. It was brilliant, and it is the perfect last present from Iwata.
It is great. They're still sticking to their March 2017 launch date, which does sound kind of odd to me, because this is a very last-minute thing for them to announce. They have 5 months to completely sell everybody on this new console. And that's not a lot of time.
I mean, you're forgetting the fact that they just sold half of the audience to it right away.
Exactly. But still, it's a very short window in the grand scheme of things.
Here's the thing, though. Here's the thing.
Who may be hesitant about it.
This is what I'm thinking, though, from their point of view. There's the March 17th date. It's too perfect to give up. One, mm-hmm. because that's right around the time their fiscal year ends, so it'll give a big boost to the end of their 2016, while also helping out their 2017. So business-wise, it's a good decision. Two, mm-hmm. they're not competing with anyone else for market space.
Oh, no. They wouldn't be, even if they... Well, no, if they did release it next year, they would be competing with the upgraded versions of the Xbox One and the PS4.
Not to mention if they released it during normal console releasing time, which is like November, late fall, early November mm-hmm. kinds of things, like when Pokemon's coming out, they're now competing with everything else coming out to hit the market by the time that everyone's doing their holiday shopping. Mm-hmm. By this releasing it at March, they give people plenty of months to get used to it or even think about buying it before the holiday season. You can bet.
That's how it was with the 3DS, actually. They released it in March with a steep price tag, which was probably one of the reasons why it didn't sell too well at first. But that holiday season, with the price drop factoring into it, it sold very well.
They're pretty much repeating that, and the 3DS has been an amazing console for them, business-wise.
Without a doubt.
Mm-hmm. Also, isn't it... Don't quote me on this, because this is just a random thought. Isn't it quite common for their handhelds to be released in spring?
Yeah, I believe so. I think the Game Boy Advance SP was released around spring...
I think
2003 or so, and the Nintendo DS, the original one, was released around the time that Emerald came out, and that was May of 2005. So, yeah, it's not uncommon for them to release their new handheld kind of systems in the spring. So they're just following their own trends. Yeah,
normally it's shortly after the fiscal year ends or right before.
Mm-hmm.
It's around the start of the fiscal year. So, which kind of also pushes the point that this is a console handheld hybrid.
Yeah.
So I love absolutely everything about it. I can't think of something that I don't like. I can think of things that I'm wary about, though.
Yeah. I'm going to reserve my judgment until either I get one for myself, which I probably won't on launch day. I'll probably wait like a month at least before picking one up. But until I get hands on at all with it, let that be with a demo, or if I just go and buy one, I'm going to reserve my judgment for it, much like I did the Wii U. I was kind of iffy on the Wii U, but I really didn't want to speak too badly on it until I actually got to play with it. And I love the console.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's a good console. Does it have problems? Yes. But I'm going to reserve all my judgments on it until I have some kind of hands-on stuff.
Yeah.
Because I think that's the most fair thing to do.
It is. I do want to lay out some of my concerns with it. One of the first things that I'm worried about is the screen. Since this is portable, bringing around that big screen on the go.
Yeah.
Is a little nerve-wracking. Like, I know it's Nintendo stuff, and you can, like, take a Wii U gamepad and dropkick it across the room, and it'll probably be fine. Don't try that. Don't quote me. But...
Don't tell me how to love my life.
Don't. It's just... It makes me a little nervous. Two, I'm worried about, like, the sliding, the clips for the controllers and things onto the screen.
I can see those being broken very easily.
Yeah, I mean, it looks like they're really good slides off and on, but then I'm worried about the tracks getting dirty and hard to clean.
And then, like, slipping off while you're playing.
Exactly.
Yeah. Hopefully that is not going to be a problem. Hopefully they learned their mistakes from the original DS, because honestly, most Nintendo, like, consoles are pretty durable. I mean,
a GameCube could survive a nuclear disaster.
They could. They actually could. We've all seen the picture of the Game Boy Color that was taken into a bombing and still plays Tetris.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, so
The things that would survive a nuclear apocalypse. Cockroaches and Nintendo consoles. And Twinkies. Don't forget Twinkies.
Yeah, don't forget Twinkies. Twinkies never go bad. But I think this is, as I've been saying, I think this is the right step for Nintendo to make. They're not only catering to their own audience, but they're also catering to an audience that they're trying to grab. They're actually somewhat going after the quote-unquote gamer audience of the people who want to play Skyrim or the people who want to play Overwatch. And with the developers that we have lined up to make content for this system, it's a good lineup. I could easily see the new Resident Evil game being ported to this when it comes out. Like, there's so much potential that this console has.
Mm-hmm.
And it makes me happy.
Oh yeah, I'm very excited. I think the thing that surprised me the most was this: when this was revealed, I immediately went to the Nintendo Twitter and the Nintendo Facebook page this morning, and scrolled, kept scrolling, looking for the negative criticism and the Nintendo haters.
Mm-hmm.
I could find barely any. There were three that I counted on Facebook.
But that's Facebook. It's pretty toxic.
You know, but, like, that's a three is an all-time low for Nintendo having haters on Facebook.
Yeah, that's really good. I mean, I'm sure as time goes on, more people will start to laugh at it. Oh, it's just an over-glorified tablet controller. Or it's overly bulky for a handheld. If I wanted to do that, I'd play games on my iPad. Are the kind of complaints that I could see being brought up eventually.
Okay.
Unless we get the specs.
But, yeah, that's the thing that I'm waiting for right now is the specs.
I think it was confirmed that it does have an NVIDIA something processor.
It can play remastered Skyrim. It can't be weak.
I mean, my piece of junk PC can play Skyrim too, though.
No, remastered Skyrim.
But Skyrim didn't look bad when it first came out.
Exactly. Remastered Skyrim is beautiful.
Can we talk about the fact that you don't need to remaster a game every single year?
Yeah. Can we, please? Can we make this an episode topic for later?
Yeah, we'll make it an episode topic for later. Actually, we'll just sum it up now. Don't. It's money-grubbing and annoying. There, we covered
what he
the...
said. It's like Game of the Year editions.
Exactly. Well, Game of the Year editions, I kind of give a slide to, because it has all the DLC with them. So,
I mean,
I will give a slide to.
Barely, because DLC is kind of a little scummy anyway, but...
Oh, it is. Well, we've already talked about that.
We need to revisit that topic, because we talked about it on, like, episode 7. And this is episode 33.
I thought we talked about it with, Destiny.
Who?
Destiny, like the game that no one plays anymore.
Yeah, that was like on episode 7.
Oh, geez, we've been around for a long time.
Do you feel old yet? I mean, hey, it's going to be 2 years in a week.
Yeah, oh, that is a good point. But speaking of getting old.
I am.
I don't know where I'm going with this, but let's talk about the demo.
The demo got old pretty quickly, to be honest.
Okay, there's our segue.
The demo did get old pretty quickly. I booted up, and I'm like, oh, this is exciting. And I did the first little trial thing, and I'm like, this is cute. And then I did the other thing when you fought the three trainers.
Yeah.
And then I got really bored at the Pokemon catching thing. Yeah. Like, ridiculously bored. Like, look, I don't even grind for Pokemon like this in the actual full games. Why do I want to do this for a demo when I can just Google the picture of a Alolan Dugtrio?
I have to agree that the demo did get kind of old kind of quick. For the people who are complaining that it is too short,
there's more.
There's a lot you can go around and you can talk to people. You can explore the area.
Also, as you're talking to people, they'll give you hints to things that are coming up.
Yeah, like, for example, by the time that this episode comes out, probably, that gives us 4 days from our recording, there should be a new event in the demo. There should be a new event in the demo on Halloween, I believe. And then there's one in 17 days from now, which would be November 6th, I think.
Yeah. And isn't there one, like, a little before the game's released, or is that the November 6th one I'm thinking about?
I think that's the November 6th one. That's the one that you talk to the police officer, and he says, yeah, it's in 17 days. Yeah, because it's, the police officer says some bad stuff's gonna go down in 17 days. Obviously something with Team Skull.
Yeah.
The one woman says that her Pikachu's birthday is in 11 days, which is on Halloween. So maybe we'll, that's how you get something we'll talk about in a second.
I almost said it.
And so, the other one says that she's trying to meet someone in 4 days. So maybe we'll meet like a new team captain or a new character or something on October 24th. But who knows?
Mm-hmm.
Anything could happen.
Is there really anything else to say about the demo? Oh, wait, you forgot about the trainer doing the spin thing. Doing the ballerina twirl.
Oh, yeah, you can pirouette if you spin your, you spin your, circle pad.
It's beautiful. Okay. I did that for, like, 3 minutes.
So that actually gets me into something I want to talk about before we get into, something a little more important. What are the things from playing the game itself that you don't like? Because I can tell you one thing I really don't like about the game so far.
From the demo?
Yeah.
One thing, your walking animation seems really stiff.
Mm-hmm.
The second thing is the battle, like, with the wild encounter thing seems really drawn out for that animation. Those are the two big ones that jump out to me.
Okay. All right. So mine have to be movement in general in the game bothers me. So one thing they got rid of is there's no more, creeping from Oras, which was really nice. It added a little bit to the game itself. So now you just have your basic walk and your basic run. So as Dozer said, very stiff. But the one thing that actually annoys me more than anything else is how the D-pad functions now. Oh. I hate that.
I haven't tried the D-pad.
The D-pad functions as a way to call the Pokemon that can help you. Like, you can assign Tauros to, like, your right D-pad button, and it just brings it out. Which is nice. It's basically registering a Pokemon instead of, like, an item. But it just, it feels kind of awkward to me as someone who does play, who does use the D-pad when he plays, like, Pokemon to move around sometimes.
I mean, I don't use the D-pad that often, and I never tried it once during the demo, so. Mm-hmm. I always just, especially with how the camera flows in the demo, where it's a lot more fluid and less stiff, it never really felt natural to me to use the D-pad, but that's just me.
I like using the D-pad just when, like, I'm tired to play, because otherwise I'll start, like, drifting off to somewhere else.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, used it when trying to shiny chain, and you want to, like, make sure you avoid the wrong patch of grass.
Yeah.
I've used it then, and other things. I used it in X and Y because I hated that the circle pad was automatic rollerblades and that it slowed you down in grass.
Mm-hmm. That might be another thing that kind of also annoys me, is that I'm so accustomed, because of our playthrough, to using the D-pad to move around, because I hate using rollerblades.
Oh, I love using rollerblades.
I hate using rollerblades.
They're so fluid, and I don't need to hold down the B button.
They are fluid, but they're kind of hard to control sometimes.
I hate having to hold down the B button to run.
I like that.
I hate that. Mainly because my B button doesn't always work.
Well, that's your fault.
It's my fault that I'm poor and can't afford a new 3DS. Okay.
No, it's your fault that you broke your B button.
Look, I played Bravely Default, and my buttons broke.
It's because of that final boss.
Yeah. I was happy, though, because it destroyed my roommate's world here first.
That's great.
Anyway.
Now you just need to play Bravely Second.
I do, but that requires money and me not being in college, so I can graduate to get the money.
Yeah. Don't worry, you'll play it eventually. It's good.
Anyway, I think that covers our thoughts on the demo.
Yeah.
So we got one more thing, but a little spoilery warning. If you don't want...
Huge.
Yeah, more than a little spoilery. Legitimate huge spoiler warning. We're going to be talking about the data mines now.
Mm-hmm. So this is the reason why it's just me and Dozer right now, because
Queenie
wanted nothing to do with it. So,
and Olivia's busy. So
Olivia's busy, but we're going to talk about the data mines. If you don't want to hear spoilers, this is the end of the episode. Thank you guys for watching. But we're going to be getting into some really interesting things.
With some VGC.
And now I've just made some interest.
Yeah, there's going to be a little VGC 2017 talk because both Cy and I are really excited about the format.
So, oh, yeah.
Datamine.
All right. Datamine.
Pokedex.
Okay, so yes. First thing we're going to actually, before we get into the Pokedex.
Okay.
I want to talk about what I think is going to happen in 4 days in the demo, is that I think, or not 4 days, on Halloween, I think that's how you get Ash Pikachu.
Oh, yeah, I totally agree.
Yeah, because we know that Ash Greninja is going to be going to be obtainable through the demo, but we don't know how Ash Pikachu is obtainable. And if you don't know what that is, it's basically a form of Pikachu that wears a hat that Ash has in the series. Every single one of his hats, from the Kanto Johto hat all the way to the newest Alolan hat, can be available on a Pikachu for you to use. That's all we know about it. We don't know any like different stats, any different moves on it.
Yep. It also,
but it has a if it functions sweet tilted hat.
Yeah. If it functions anywhere similarly to Ash Greninja, there will be an ability that allows it to switch into Ash Pikachu, and that ability will also probably boost one of its moves power.
Mm-hmm. Which is pretty good.
By the way, Ash Greninja is broken. Moving on.
Oh yeah, before we get into anything else, I like that they made Water Shuriken special.
Wait, it's special now?
Yeah, Water Shuriken's now special.
Oh, I thought it was physical.
Nope, they made it special.
Okay.
It used to be physical, but they changed it.
I mean, physical Greninja was also good, so.
Mm-hmm. But special to Greninja is better. So.
Yeah.
Anyway, so the Datamon. A lot of stuff got leaked out.
Yeah.
We have the entirety of the VGC 2017 list of usable Pokemon. And to say the least, it's very interesting. Mm-hmm. There are not that many huge players in the VGC format that we've seen for the past 3 years, 4 years.
Yeah, I mean, Kangaskhan's here, but no Megas.
There's no Megas, but Kangaskhan, Mega Kangaskhan's gone. No more Amoongus.
I know.
That one hurts a lot. There are some Pokemon who are returning that will have a really strong showing probably in VGC 2017.
Like Gyarados.
Yeah, like Gyarados, Salamence,
Metagross,
Sylveon. Metagross, maybe. I'm kind of iffy. I don't know about
with
Metagross.
With Sylveon being in the game, you're going to need a Steel type.
Yeah. Who else? I guess kind of Talonflame.
Milotic.
That's about it, though.
I mean...
Oh, and Gengar. How could I forget about Gengar? That was the one I was actually happy that is in 2017, because I love using Gengar on my teams.
I mean, there's some Pokemon who have seen play in, like, 2014 that are here, like Weavile mm-hmm. gets some play because it has double flinching, and that's really cool. Garchomp was pretty big back in the day.
Big in 2015, so... Yeah.
We get, he wasn't as big in 2015.
He was a good Pokemon to run in 2015. I don't think you can really argue that. He was a decent sweeper. So.
Decent, yeah. Gigalith saw some play in 2014. I mean, that's 2014. This is the year that Pachirisu won, so. Yeah,
but Pachirisu's not legal, so. The one thing that hurts the most, though, from this entire listing, no Rotom. Even though Rotom is your Pokedex, it's not in the Pokedex.
It'll be a VGC without Rotom, Wash.
I hate it. It makes me sad.
I won't know at least one of Sai's Pokemon all the time.
No, I'll have Gengar.
Because he always
on every
uses Rotom.
Gengar.
Oh, you're right. Now. You're right.
Gengar and Rotom Wash just go hand in hand.
When you're playing, yes.
When I'm playing, and when other people play too. It's
But
it's
okay.
Speed control.
Talonflame's also still a thing.
Yeah.
So, but we don't know how the meta's going to change for Gale Wings because of things like Dazzling.
Yeah, things like Dazzling and the new move that's been announced, not announced, but leaked out from the data mine called Psychic Terrain, which basically makes it so priority moves don't hit.
I am still very curious to see how that works for self-boosting priority moves and Protect.
Mm-hmm.
If it makes Protect not work, that is...
It says hit, though, is, like, the main thing.
Yeah. You know,
so, I don't think Protect will be affected by it. Otherwise, that would be incredibly busted.
I think it'll have to do on if the move targets another Pokemon or not. Which that's really good for if you want to use, like, a self-boosting Prankster Pokemon or something. But I don't... We have Klefki as a Prankster Pokemon, I think, but do we have...
We really don't have too many... We have Whimsicott.
Whimsicott. As another Prankster. And we have Murkrow.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Murkrow could be interesting in this format.
Oh, Prankster Quash?
Yeah.
That's real. Oh, we have Smeargle, which can learn anything.
Yeah, but Smeargle's...
Bad in VGC?
Bad in VGC.
I mean...
Other than Dark Void Smeargle.
Is Dark Void legal?
They don't really ban moves, they just ban Pokemon.
No, they used to ban Dark Void. It was unbanned in 2015.
Well, it's probably still unbanned. I didn't see it in the rules.
Well, then.
Yep.
Dang it.
Yeah. And one thing to mention, there's no drought Pokemon either, because Ninetales, the only available Ninetales that you'll have is Alolan Ninetales.
Oh, jeez. And there's no Omega Charizard.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, but there is a rain Pokemon. There's also no Sandstream either that we know of. That we know of. No,
unless maybe like Dunala, whatever the Sandcastle is. Can get it as a hidden ability, or
like Alolan Golem. By the way, there's Alolan Golem.
Yeah, there's Alolan Golem. It's pretty cool. It's literally just Wooly Willy, the Pokemon. It's pretty cool.
But yeah, I'm really more excited to check out some of these new like Alolan Pokemon for VGC though.
Mm-hmm. I'm interested to see, because we were talking about this before the show, if Ultra Beasts are going to be a key player in VGC, because it was confirmed by Nintendo and they have shinies in the game, which means that Ultra Beasts are catchable. But whether or not they're treated as a cover legendary or if they're treated as Pokemon like Heatran, Cresselia, or other Pokemon that you catch after thing.
Yeah. I'm also curious as to how the baby legendaries will function. By the way, there's baby legendaries.
Yeah, one of them says like Perfy or something, or Permy. The moon one does. This was confirmed by either Kotaku or Gizmodo, because they encountered it through their playthrough of the game, journalist copy.
Okay.
So it, well, they got those both of them early. Will probably have a huge impact on the games that they're in. Very story driven, very nice.
Mm-hmm. I just they're so cute.
Yeah.
Speaking of which, so's Marshadow.
Yeah, I feel like Marshadow, which was a Pokemon that was announced or hinted
Not
at
announced.
In Chinese League. I know announce is just the word I want to say, but it was hinted at in the Chinese League as having a very special typing, not owned by any of their Pokemon, which a lot of people don't know what exactly it could be. Whether it's like something like Fire Fairy, but it looks like one of the new totem Pokemon might be Fire Fairy if it matches up with the Oricorio forms. Very interesting there. It's probably not going to be legal. I feel like it's going to be the maybe Zygarde of the game, even though Zygarde's in the game.
Oh, yeah. That's... Yeah. I do think, though, that... Because we see that Sogaleo and Lunala have baby forms. Mm-hmm. I think Marshadow is that what we see is its baby form.
Oh, yeah. One thing, what else? In the data mine, so from the data mine, they weren't able to get names or types because Nintendo did do an okay job at scrubbing a lot of information.
And the only reason we got the sprites is because of a loophole that they found.
Yeah. But one of the things that was kind of big about it was that there are 9 images that are misplaced.
Yep.
That couldn't be found. So that might be 9 Pokemon, that may be 9 placeholders just for data, or that might be 9 unused forms. It could be anything.
Mm-hmm.
But talking about things that are being replaced, there's no more HMs.
Yeah, this came as a shock to me because I had heard in a report where it was a Japanese demo copy, not demo copy, but
journalist copy. Yeah.
Review copy. And they said that there was an HM, that there were HMs that, because you got HM01 workup, that must have been a translation error.
Yeah, it was probably a translation error because workup is now TM01. In fact, there are a few TMs that were kind of used that aren't TMs anymore, like Dig. And for some reason, Leech Life is now a TM, which I don't understand why. Yeah, I don't understand why. It's been a TM
since Gen 1.
Yeah, but Surf replaces Rock. Rock Smash, and Waterfall replaces Power Up Punch as TMs, which is kind of nice. There's also a few items that are new. There's a new Pokeball that's supposed to be connected with Ultra Beast. But no one can really figure out what it does, not even the hackers themselves. They're just able to inject it in the game to get not only what it looks like, which it kind of looks like the mini form of Solgaleo. And its animation has, like, sparks and, like, fire and stuff. It looks pretty cool.
It does.
But aside from that, we have every single Pokemon, but no names for them. So, we have a little bit of time left. Dozer, what are your 2 favorite Pokemon? Or that have no names that we don't know about? What do you think their names will be? What do you think their types will be? And how good do you think they'll be?
I'm not even going to try and touch the names because that is way over my head.
You're not creative.
I am creative. I'm just not Nintendo naming creative. Ooh, 2 that I like.
You don't think that the new Rowlet Final Evolution is going to be called, like Noctur or something?
It's going to be called Edgeworth, okay?
Edgeworth? No, like Knock, like Knocked an Arrow, Nighttime, and then, like, mix of Raptor or Noctrix.
That actually sounds a little better. That sounds really... Yeah, I could see that working. I have no idea what they're going to call... the Popplio Final Evolution. And I'm not going to find out in my first playthrough of the game because Popplio's staying adorable as Popplio.
Stop stealing my idea.
I had it first.
No, you didn't.
I did. I said I was an evolving Popplio. If I was after you, it was by a few minutes.
I said, I don't care. You can go back because we did an episode on it too. You can go back. I said, I'm keeping Litten the way it is. It's being named Gigi. I don't care about its evolution at all. It's documented.
And that's then, the if not immediately afterward, I said I was doing the same with Popplio.
Stop stealing my ideas. It's not all right, anyway, stealing 2 Pokemon that you like.
Let's see. I'm also trying to pick ones that I don't think you'll pick.
Mm-hmm.
Why don't you go first?
Okay, well, I think my 2 that I like the most are the Anchor.
Yeah.
Which yeah. I'll call Ankelgeist. Or no, Titanker. There we go.
Titanker.
Mix on the Titanic and Anchor. Because it's massive. But for its typing, I don't know what it could be. Like, I don't know if it's going to be like Ghost and Steel or Water and Steel or Water and Ghost. And like, most people are pretty even on all 3.
Mm-hmm.
And it looks really nice. And the other one, I was gonna say the Wimpod evolution, just because I was right about that. But, it's not documented. But, probably the diving spider.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what its name would be. It'd definitely be water and bug. Hopefully it has some decent stats. Maybe an ability that involves that bubble protecting it or something. Like magic bounce. But I like those two, definitely.
Okay.
I don't know if I'd use them on a playthrough, but I like their design. I especially like the diving spider one because just like there are diving spiders in Hawaii for the most part. Really wish they would have done something with a happy face spider, but whatever.
As for me, one that I really like is the Salandit evolution.
Oh yeah.
And maybe if I have to try and name it something like Lizinja, I don't know.
Lizinja.
This is the best I can do on a whim when you didn't ask me to prepare anything, okay?
I didn't prepare anything either.
Yeah, but I'm also tired.
Straight up to tanker.
To tanker. Hey, it's no better than your to tanker, okay? And then I guess I'd have to go with... I like the sea urchin.
Sea urchin's pretty cool.
It is. It's so hard. I was either the sea urchin or the toucan.
Yo, Toucan Sam confirmed VGC broken. Oh. It knows Boom Burst. Wait, there's no Boom Burst Pokemon, like, at all. Oh, no, there's Flygon, but that's it. That's the only Boom Burst Pokemon in VGC.
Unless a new Pokemon learns Boom Burst.
Like the Toucan!
Yeah!
Dude, we might have to use the Toucan on our teams now.
We're using either the Toucan or the Flygon. We might need to change our logo to a Flygon.
Yeah. Just we might have to change it to make it a wild Flygon.
But if the sea urchin... I'm going to go on a guess and guess that it's water poison.
Mm-hmm.
And if I did, I guess the name that comes up in my head is like Perchin.
Perchin?
Poison urchin. I don't know. You act like I'm good at this. Naming is my weakness. That's creative. like Titanker is so creative.
Shut up. Titanker is great.
Even though the Titanic didn't even sink in.
It's the real Titanic. What you don't know is that Titanker is the new, somewhat nerfed version of Aegislash, and it's going to be completely broken. It's going to tear up the entire meta with its green ooze from the deep sea floor, which is a thing that happens. It's calcified. It's calcium that builds up on shipwrecks and stuff like that, which is, again, a nice little touch to a lot of these designs.
Yes. Speaking of designs, I am looking at the Ultra Beasts, and I'm trying to figure out which one is more of an edgelord. The sixth one by Magiana, or the third one that's got, like, the white punk emo spike hair?
Okay, so you mean, like, the wire one? Or the...
Yeah.
I would say the one by Magiana.
It's more edgelord. Mm-hmm. It's so again, edgy.
And just because we can... And we have time to... Let's talk about the Ultra Beast real quick. Again, it looks like they're kind of going... This is the one thing that kind of disappointed me. From the Ultra Beast. They didn't stick with the theme. Because the first three that we were shown, they all had a very obvious theme of... These are deep sea creatures. Which is great for Hawaii.
Wait, the second one's a mosquito.
No, the second one's a peacock shrimp. The second one is legitimately a peacock shrimp.
I'm googling peacock shrimp.
Right down to the fact that it has, like, super-powered fists, because peacock shrimp are some of the craziest animals you'll ever see, that they punch their prey to stun them, and their punches are so fast that they create superheated bubbles to stun their prey.
But he's
People
got
have
wings.
Kept them... They're fins. People have kept them... as pets, and they've punched holes in their aquarium tanks.
I guess those could be fins. I haven't seen the model, but I see a mosquito proboscis and insect wings.
Sure you do. And then Beauty's, like, obviously, like, what is it, an isopod, which mm-hmm. get huge down in the water. But, like, we have, like, a mess of wires. And then we have a bamboo thing. And then we have some origami. And then we have something that looks like a crab mixed with a wobbegong shark. And then Edgelord.
Edgelord.
Who probably listens to a bit too much Linkin Park.
He never grew out of the Linkin Park phase.
He never did. And it's not even like he likes the guy who, like, does good rapping. He likes...
Mike Shinoda. Mike Shinoda.
He likes Mike Shinoda. Oh, my goodness.
He likes Chester, the lead singer, is who he likes from Linkin Park.
Yeah, but he can't tell the difference between Linkin Park and Blink-182, which makes me even more angry.
Is there someone you know who can't tell the difference between those two?
There's someone I know who can't tell the difference between any general alternative rock band. It actually frustrates me.
Oh, that is frustrating.
But this is just me complaining about them breaking their theme.
Not even established.
Not the design. Because I love the designs.
The designs are all good. I still think that there's, like, some link between an Ultra Beast and a trainer.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of people have been drawing lines between Guzma and the Wire one, and then some people are even drawing lines between, is it Hala, the first Kahuna, and the Crab Wobbegong one.
I can see that.
Yeah, and then people are trying to, the one thing that doesn't make sense is people are trying to compare Gladion to the Peacock Shrimp. But he's obviously the Edgelord.
Okay, he's obviously Odin Dark from Fire Emblem. Because his sword hand won't listen to him.
Exactly.
But no.
Sacred stones. the last thing of note that I think was pulled about Pokemon, the Pokemon that we have, from the leak, is that Magearna has a second has like an alternate coloration form.
Yeah, it's an I don't remember. It's a Pokeball form, kind of.
Yeah, it has a Pokeball form, but its Pokeball form also has a shiny, which makes it black.
Yep. So it's got four color variations.
Mm-hmm. Speaking of nice shinies, the sandcastles.
Yes, black.
Just the amount. When I realized and I told Dozer about it, it just blew my mind the amount of detail that they put into some of these Pokemon with their shiny, even. Mm-hmm. How it's black sand, which is a cursed object if you take it home from you from Hawaii.
Yeah, that and a lot of the ground Pokemon's shiny forms are ground and rock Pokemon are red because there's red sand very prominent in Hawaii.
Yeah, from the clay.
Even Alolan Dugtrio Sweet Dew is based on something.
Yeah, it's based off of Pele hair, which is a type of volcanic residue.
That looks like blonde hair.
Mm-hmm.
And
it's crazy.
Beautiful. The only thing I want to figure out is Persian. It's One Punch Cat.
It's One Punch Cat. I would say it's because of over-pampering from the Meowth form.
Like, I know everyone's been saying, well, Persian let itself go, but it's only its face that's fat.
There were some good gifs of Persian getting stung by a bee. But, no, I would say it would either have something to do with it being overly pampered, or, what was the other thing? Oh, because they're perfect, problems with inbreeding.
Okay. I mean, I guess.
Would be the only two that I could really think of. I'm sure that when the game does come out, they'll explain it a little better. But for now, those are my two.
I'm going to stick with that it is Saitama's cat.
Okay.
And it is One Scratch Cat.
Yeah.
I don't even like One Punch Man, but that's just what I think when I see it.
One Punch Man's good, though.
It is good, but that doesn't mean I needed to like it.
You don't have to like it. You just have to accept that it's decently written.
It's one of the best written gag shows I've seen, but unfortunately for them, I despise gag shows.
Yeah, Dozer hates gag anime, so I don't know.
And gagging.
I like it more than Attack on Titan.
So. I mean, Attack on Titan was really too much.
It was overhyped. But
anyway, this is not an anime podcast, and we don't watch the Pokemon anime, so we can't talk about that. So
nope. So yeah, I think it's gonna wrap it up. Yeah. Last things of note: I was wrong again about the actual count of Pokemon available for VGC 2017 because I keep looking back at the list, and now I realize that there's two Gastrodon forms, much like Sinnoh, which is interesting. So altogether, we have about 307 legal Pokemon to work with for VGC this year. I feel like it's
Are you also making sure you count the pre-evolved?
Yes, I was counting pre-evolved forms, but I cut out Zygarde, the two covers, and the extra forms of Gastrodon.
I'm just gonna say, cast form is the only Pokemon who's good in good setting fire.
Yeah.
Not really because Arcanine's here, but
Wait, what are you talking about? We have Magmortar.
It's not good for setting, son. Then we again, have Whimsicott
with Prankster.
Prankster, Whimsicott. This is gonna be a really sad format for Sun teams. It's not I don't even think there's any chlorophyll Pokemon.
There is. Oh my goodness, this format's gonna be great.
Are there any Swift Swimmers?
Yes.
Okay, because I know there's Politoed.
There's Magikarp.
There's Magikarp.
He's got Swift Swim.
Oh my god, this VGC is going to be so janky!
Doesn't Poliwrath have Swift Swim?
Maybe?
I don't remember.
It has Water Absorb? It might have Swift Swim?
I don't remember. This VGC format's going to be great. Hey, Love Desk, there we go. Yeah, no, this VGC format's going to be great. I absolutely cannot wait to play it.
From absolute cancer format to, like, jank format of the highest caliber.
Yeah, it's beautiful. I love it. I don't think any of the complaints from last format are going to be applicable. The last few formats are going to be applicable to this coming up format.
I mean, there will still, an established meta will still develop, but with this mini Trashmon, like, who knows what can happen. My Snorlax might actually be competitive.
Again.
I want to pulverizing pancake the competition. Anyway, I've been Dozer.
I've been Sai. Yeah, we're reaching the 15-minute mark. Yeah, like, thank you guys for listening. We should have another episode out next week. We're going to try and keep with our weekly episode goal. 2 weeks in a row. We're good now.
Hopefully.
Well, this one won't be hard to get out. Come back next week where either we talk about something important or something not important, or we talk about our birthdays.
Oh, okay. So we're going to talk about something. You just might not care.
Yeah, we're going to talk about something next week. I can guarantee it. You're going to like the way you look.
Bye.
See ya.